Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the lineup is complete for the Scottish Cup semi-finals. Rangers will play Hearts and Celtic will face Aberdeen for a place in the final. The Jambos were the final team through by seeing off Morton in Greenock. And with the Euros fast approaching, Stevie Clark names his latest Scotland squad and there's a return for Craig Gordon. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans.
Well, with regard to that cup draw, Hearts have already lost 5 goals to Rangers fairly recently. Aberdeen lost 6 to Celtic in one game this season so far. My money is on an Old Firm Cup final. And with regard to the Scotland squad, we've got more goalkeepers than strikers. We could be defensive in Germany.
Yeah, I think Steve Clark's obviously trying to keep everybody happy, rightly so. I think Craig Gordon adds that, obviously, the experience. He's a wonderful goalkeeper. It will be whittled down to 3, obviously, so it's up to the goalkeepers to make sure that they're catching the eye at training, obviously, friendlies. And as Hugh quite rightly said, you look at the 2 Scottish Cup semi-finals, could it be Rangers-Celtic in the final at May 26th?
Only Hugh Keevans would go straight in at 6:02 though and predict the outcome of the semi-finals that are weeks away. No time for hanging about.
No, not at all. This isn't Aberdeen, you know. This is, I go, when I say an advanced stage, I mean an advanced stage. I don't mean an advanced stage, but we haven't had any interviews yet.
Well, that's another one for you, Aberdeen fans, if you want to get involved. There is a lot doing the rounds. I say that every night. It's not like for dramatic effect. It just never stops Scottish football constantly churning up stories and talking points. So what do you think tonight? 0141 951 1025. Quite simply, what do you make of the Scottish Cup semi-final draw? Give us all your reaction to it, all your thoughts. You can even go for Hugh Keevan-style predictions if you want. Maybe you could educate me on the psychology of that rivalry. Would you rather have played each other, Celtic and Rangers fans, in the semi-final, or take your chances and wait and try and do it in a final? Educate me. Educate me and Gordon DL, who don't understand these things.
I have a theory.
Uh-huh.
If you're Celtic, you're glad that you've avoided Rangers in the semi-final because you need all the time you can get to get McGregor back and Hatate. Also Carter Vickers, because minus McGregor and Carter Vickers at the weekend, Celtic, they had to grind out a performance against Livingston, and the manager, Brendan Rodgers, did not deny that. So I think that Celtic want Carter Vickers and McGregor and Atati back in the final.
You know that the worst thing he can do is speak on behalf of you. You've been telling me this for years, so what do you think? Are you happy to potentially, because Hearts and Aberdeen have got a say here, you know, I know it sometimes get forgotten, are you happy to potentially take your chances in the final? Would you have rather had the big rivalry meeting in the semi-finals? All your reaction to that Scottish Cup draw right now, please. Same to you, Hearts and Aberdeen fans. If you'd want to do a more specific look at the last of the quarter-finals, that game in Greenock last night, you can do that as well on the usual number. We are going to have Brendan Rodgers giving us a bit of an injury update, I think, on Rio Hatate, as Hugh has alluded to. And what about that Scotland squad then? The Euros is fast approaching and we're in it, by the way. I don't know if you've forgotten. It feels like international football has been put in the back burner because we've not played for so long. This is pretty much the home straight. And Steve Clark doesn't have many friendlies to play with to try and assess which team is going to lead Scotland to Euro glory. So what did you make of that today? There are 4 goalkeepers. Craig Gordon's been brought back in and no other goalkeeper has made way. We've got a lot of defenders in there. There are only 3 strikers. Of course, notable injuries to Callum McGregor and Aaron Hickey in particular at the moment. So what did you make of that? Are you one of those who is always a bit disappointed, always wants to see something new, always wants to see a level of experimentation? Or is it in Steve Clarke we trust, given that we've not had many Euros to look forward to over the years and now heading in to a second consecutive one? 01419511025. And Tuesday night, Gordon, you're used to it. Hugh just floats about. He's like the utility man. He's like Dujon Sterling or whatever, just plugging gaps. You're used to the Tuesday night fare. It was quite the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was enjoyable. I thought at one point you'd go back to, we'll start with Celtic Livingston. I think they struggled a little bit. You know, at one point I thought the Celtic were looking good, especially first half, got the early goal. You're thinking, right, it's going to be an easy day at the office. Well done to Livingston, made it difficult. And then you look at Rangers-Hibs game, obviously nine men talk about the incidents, the decisions, but it's all about cup football, it's all about getting through. Aberdeen, Kilmarnock, I thought that was a terrific result under Neil Warnock's last game in charge. I think everybody fancied Derek McInnes to go up there and do one over in his old team and get to the semi-final. And then last night, I've got to say, the one thing I love about Capello...
Did you go?
No. Oh, you got a good crowd in there. It creates a terrific atmosphere.
Couldn't get a ticket. Sold out, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And all credit to Hearts. What a travelling support as well. They got the all-important goal. Obviously, wasn't shocking for once, but it doesn't matter. Semi-final against Rangers.
Was for the first time that Stevie Clark's been at Capello since the old Renfrewshire Derby days when he was a St Mirren player and Morton were there. But he obviously went to run the rule over Craig Gordon. Mm-hmm. And there he is in the squad today. And let it be said, Craig Gordon played very well last night. And every commendation to Morton because they made a real game of it.
Craig Gordon is now to goalkeeping what you are to punditry. Yeah, experienced. The oldest guy in the room, basically.
Yeah. He's filling in.
Not so much Dujon Sterling as Dujon Matalan.
01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Get all your thoughts in. Scottish Cup draw. What did you make of it? All those general thoughts and reactions. If you want to get more specific, educate me. Like I said, would you Celtic and Rangers fans rather have it this way, stay apart in the semis and potentially meet in the final? Or would you rather have the meeting at semi-final stage? You tell us, Hearts and Aberdeen fans, how do you feel? Scotland squad, what do you make of it with the Euros in mind? Would you have done anything different? And anything else out there at all? You know where we are. Maybe a bit more reaction from you Aberdeen fans would be nice, because the search is on for a new manager and there is a game tomorrow night that Peter Leaven will take charge of. So all your calls right now if you can, and we'll work our way through things between now and 8 o'clock. As always, you can watch on the live stream if this is new information to you. If you're listening in your radio or on your smart speaker or on your app and you want to switch on and see Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dalziel whilst you eat your dinner, you can actually do that. I know, don't say we're not good to you. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter and the usual platforms. Let's bring in Keenan, who's first through in Neilston. How's it going, Keenan?
Yeah, I'm good, Dad. How are you?
Not bad. You have, I think, are on to answer my question. As a Celtic fan, is this the way you wanted it, or would you rather play Rangers in the semi-final?
I think it's a no-brainer that we wait to the final. I had the choice. I mean, you need to look at it. We're not exactly great right now, are we? We're blowing hot and cold. So, I think you wait to the final, because there's more time. Plus, there's always an upset. They go out and you get an easier draw.
Absolutely, right.
I suppose
absolutely
that's a
possibility. Right. I mean, let's be brutally honest about it. And Brendan Rodgers touched upon it when he said that Celtic had to grind out a result, and that at Celtic, more than grinding out results is expected. Celtic are lightweight at the back if there's no Carter Vickers. Welsh and Scales are simply not a partnership for a game against Rangers right now. And Celtic minus McGregor in the middle of the park are lightweight because Iwata, Paulo Bernardo and Matt O'Reilly, who's been subdued for many weeks now, are simply not the same without McGregor in their midst. And up front, based on what happened at the weekend, I would say it's time to reverse the order again, make Kyogo the number one striker and put Ida on the bench. Kuhn did very well. We'll see if he can replicate that form when St Johnstone plays Celtic at the weekend. And Maeda, of course, celebrated his 100th appearance with a hat-trick and did very well. But the overall picture is that Celtic are lightweight without Carter Vickers and McGregor.
Keenan's general feeling is Celtic aren't in a brilliant place and can get better. So if there's to be a meeting with Rangers at any stage, push it down the line.
Yeah, I can understand that and agree with it. It gives you that extra time to get, as you described, their important players back, especially the two that we've mentioned, Carter Vickers and McGregor, the captain. They are certainly a big miss, but you should still be able to turn up against Livingston, put a show on without those two influential players. But when you come to semi-finals and you come to finals, you've got a better chance of winning them with these guys on the pitch. There's no doubt in that.
These people are going to get onto the backs of other players. You know, like Lundstrom would do at Rangers. There's no one taking that mantle.
What does that really mean, though? Because the all-conquering Celtic team last season probably didn't have that really either. What does it, you know, what does it mean?
No, I mean, as long as McGregor and Carter Vickers are there, I can't minimise the importance of these guys.
No, sure, but I mean in terms of that specific quality or trait. Carter Vickers is an extremely good defender. He strikes you as being quite a quiet guy. Is it not just about playing good football? Are these things not a bit old school to worry about who's shouting at each other?
I thought that Celtic perked up when James Forrest came on, because these are battle-hardened professionals. James Forrest had been 17 years at Celtic, seen it all, won it all, done it all. And when he came on, you got the impression that here's a man who understands the situation that Celtic are in. It's 2-2, they're not playing well, and this needs a big-time, big-occasion player. And James Forrest immediately lifted the atmosphere.
I mean, I get it. I get the logic, Gordon. I just wonder if you're good at your football, if actually all of that stuff becomes a bit cliche. Go back, I know Celtic fans hate the comparison. When Ange Postecoglou came in, he didn't know Scottish football. You've got Kyogo and Hatate and Jota, and they're all brand new in, barely speaking English. It's really good, and just swept everything aside. It didn't matter that they hadn't played here before. It didn't matter that they weren't experienced. It didn't matter that they didn't grab each other by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah, sometimes players on the pitch maybe need that, but I don't think Celtic are that sort of team. I don't think Cal McGregor's that. I think he'll have a chat in the dressing room. But you've got to lead by example, as you quite rightly said there, Gordon. If you go and you're doing your job and you're working hard and you're setting the example as the experienced defender, Carter Vickers, you're setting example as the leader in Callum McGregor. It works hand in hand. Players then look and think, you know what, if these two are right up for it, I've got to go in the same sort of a playing field. And I think that you're right. I going back to the days, you go back to the old captains that used to maybe get a grip of you and, you know, have a real strong word in your ear. These days are gone. You've got to lead by example. And I think that Carter Vickers and McGregor, when they're on the top of their game, they don't need to be shouting at players. They just lead by the example of the way they're going about their business.
Keenan's gone, and I don't know where he's gone, and I can't get him back. Nothing to do with me. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He expects Reo Hatate to play again before the end of this month. Japanese midfielder's only played 20 minutes, I think, for Celtic in the last five or so months due to injury problems.
Now he's out on the pitch doing his work, so after the international break he'll be with the squad. But just having the availability of that level of player, the dynamism he has, clearly it's something that we've missed. So to get to have him back will be great. I just think the football looks different. I've said it all season, and these are huge players for us, and they get you through the pitch and they squeeze the pitch. There's never a drama when they're there, and yeah, it'll be great. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we can get them all back.
Let's go back to the phones. Andy's going to give us the Rangers side of things. What was your reaction to the draw last night, Andy?
Thanks for having me on. Hi there, Gordon and Hugh. Hope you're all well.
Yeah, all good, thank you, all good.
Yeah, my reaction to the draw was, I think it, like, as Hugh was suggesting there, it does look kind of favourable for a final where it's going to be an Old Firm final, because yeah, I think if it was flipped the other way around, because Aberdeen have been a thorn in Rangers' side this season, and Hearts have been a thorn in Celtic's side, that it might not, you know, it looks so kind of clear. But when it's my question, I came on because I had the point, it was more to the question you kind of opened the show with. Would you rather, avoid Celtic in the semi-final, or and vice versa, the Celtic fans avoiding Rangers in the semi-final.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, like, it reminded me of a question that from a page I followed on Facebook that a guy put out, and it was asking about what teams the last 16 would Rangers fans want to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was like, well, none of them, because at the end of the day, if you want to be crowned the best, then you need to beat the best. So you don't want, for me, I wouldn't want to avoid Celtic in the hopes that some other team knocked them out so they'd get an easier final. You know, I'd rather just play the best teams and show that, you know, the reason that if Rangers win the Scottish Cup, they won it because they beat all the best teams in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not hoping that, you know, along the way some other team knock out Celtic.
No, but there's another possibility, was that you meet them in the final. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I'd love it to be a Rangers and Celtic Old Firm final. I think it would, because it just builds up for a better occasion, a better game.
If I follow your logic, Andy, therefore you would have wished that last night's draw was Rangers versus Celtic and not Rangers versus Hearts.
No, you're just saying doesn't matter either way.
But if it, you know, I think the vast majority of the Rangers fans would have wanted Celtic at the semi-final stage, because to harp on about the problems they have, no one knows for sure. No one is coming out and giving a definitive on Cameron Carter-Vickers. For all we know,
I think he was the same. Brendan Rodgers expects him, Callum McGregor and Reo Hitati to play after the international break, which is next week.
Well,
and the semis are the 20th of next month.
Yeah,
should be a bit of time.
Right now, Rangers, and they have had a multitude of injuries, but right now Rangers, I think, are better equipped to handle an Old Firm game than Celtic are.
Okay, let's do that other bit, Gordon. This is complete hypothetical amateur psychology stuff that we always love to do. The semi-finals are the 20th of April. Had they met in the semi-final and had it gone whichever way, can that swing things in the title race? Or are they always completely separate?
I think they'll be.
Again, it's completely hypothetical, I get that. Say this supposed understrength, underperforming Celtic team met Rangers in the semi and beat them quite comfortably. Well, you know, what would that have done to the title race?
Cup football, I don't think
it's just separate.
No, yeah, I think it's separate, Gordon. I'm the opposite. I was delighted the Rangers and Celtic are kept apart. It doesn't mean to say it'll be a Rangers Celtic, Celtic Rangers final, but I like the prospect of that because it is a showpiece game. There's no doubt.
And by the way, Aberdeen and Hearts fans, phone him up, put him in his place, because you'll be hearing a lot of this stuff and you'll be sick of it already.
If you're Aberdeen and Hearts, you're probably sitting there thinking, I hope we get each other. And the one thing in cup football, you always want to avoid Rangers or Celtic, especially at the latter stages of the cup. But going back to your point, no, I think that Celtic will be in a better place. They have got a lot of players missing, and so have Rangers, let's be honest, and very key players, but they've got big squads and they've got to handle that. I expect both sides. I know that Aberdeen could improve. Will they have a new manager in by then? You probably think yes. Hearts under Naismith doing very well. You all know that they've got the threat with Shanklin. So they're going to be difficult semi-finals, but I expect both the Rangers and Celtic to make it to the final.
I don't think it's derogatory or a lazy assumption to assume it's an Old Firm final, purely and simply because Rangers have played Hearts four times this season and beaten them four times. Celtic, even when not playing well, beat Aberdeen, and had that Sunday afternoon where they had one of those performances like the Dundee game that fell out of the sky and they took six off Aberdeen. I don't think it's being disrespectful to Aberdeen or Hearts to suggest that on all known form it'll be an Old Firm Cup final.
Well, they both of them will be favourites, Hugh. We know that. Yeah. It doesn't matter what situation, whether they've got all their key players back or not. They've still got very, very good experienced players. They know how, especially Celtic in the past, they know how to win at Hampden. It's like a second home to them. So I expect, like you, Hugh, I fancy Rangers and Celtic.
You confident Andy Rangers can keep plugging away on all fronts at the moment? It was obviously another bruising night in the quarter final with, you know, more injuries. Still confident that that won't take its toll as we head back into European competition this week?
Well, yeah, I was a little concerned. I mean, seeing that it was the same team that was playing, I thought there's going to be tired legs out there. And, you know, is he planning playing again, starting again? And Thursday with the same team, and then with the injuries, now it's what was the team going to set up like? But, you know, I'm still quite confident. Rangers have always been strong at home. We've got a good performance away. Being at Benfica's own ground. So I think that, you know, if we knuckle down and we just play a game and just believe in Clermont's tactics and get behind the players, then hopefully we should be going through. I'm quite confident. But I'm still well aware that Benfica are a team with a mass of quality, and, you know, they might just be going through a little bit of a rough patch right now, and we might be lucky to be capitalising on that right now. But so I'm still aware that they are a big team, and they could come and thrash us 3-0. It could be a 1-0, 2-1 victory for Rangers. Who knows? Just going to have to wait and see.
Thank you to Andy. John's on Twitter. Hugh's talking absolute nonsense. Just copy and paste that from the other night. How are we more well equipped to play Celtic when we have six wingers out and relying on two youth team kids? Peter says something similar. What about Rangers players missing? Specifically Cantwell, Sima, Cortez, Danilo, Wright, Jack, Dowell, McCausland and Sterling. The three Celtic are missing ain't as bad as that, says Peter. 01419511025. If you call now, we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL are here. 01419511025. Craig is a Rangers fan on the line in Middlesbrough. How are you, Craig?
Good guys, how you doing?
Not bad. It's not bad at all. What you good got for stuff. Us tonight?
I know, listen, I'm probably being a wee bit paranoid here, but it was just a point on Gordon's, kind of like Gordon DL, the other Gordon. She's been called worse. But his point about the cup review to start the show, and it was like nine men. It was just, listen, I didn't get a chance to listen to the show last night. I was at Easter Road on Sunday, and from my view, obviously behind the goal, the tackle in Lundstrom was absolutely ludicrous. You know, it was if he connected with Lundstrom, it was a season-ending injury for him. I know, you know, watching it back on TV and different things, it's like his head or his, I don't know, something connects with him. But it was just on that one. It was just to see what you guys thought. As I said, I didn't get a chance to listen last night. If you thought either weren't yellow cards, or sorry, red cards, and why not? Because just that nine men, it's like, I think it devalues Rangers' performance a little bit because it was very professional and it was job done. But I've got another point just on that as well, guys.
Let's go for that first. I wouldn't read it too deep. It's just a fact, and Gordon DL's not trying to take anything away. It was nine men, it just was. And I think particularly the first one, it does come quite early. It's game-altering for sure. Did you have any grumbles with the decision? Many people did, according to last night's show.
Yeah, as per normal. You know, the Hibs manager certainly wasn't happy as well. But no, I called it on the day. We were in here watching the game, Gordon. And
You've not changed your mind? Sometimes you go home change your mind.
No, then. I've not changed my mind. I'm sticking by it. I think Hibs lost a little bit of discipline. You could see the first red card coming because he was on a yellow. And you could just tell, and I think it was Mark Wilson in the studio called it 5 minutes prior saying, look, this guy's got to get himself in trouble. He'd be better getting him off. It didn't happen. He went down to 10 and then obviously the rash tackle. And I think that is a red card. So I thought the referee got both decisions right. And you're correct. I'm not diminishing Rangers' performance by any matters. I mean, I was just stating a fact that Hibs went down to nine men and Rangers went in to save it.
Decisions for you, Hugh?
Stephen McLean got everything right, with one exception. He could have sent Obita off before he sent him off, because when he's on a booking and he's then shoving the Rangers physio and McCausland off the pitch, if Stephen McLean had been more excitable, he could have yellow carded him and that would have been him off at that point. He got everything right, and I think all of the criticism from Nick Montgomery, the Hibs manager, is nothing other than deflection.
I think the Hibs manager's got to take a bit of responsibility. Yep. I know that you look at your
players.
The only thing
I would say is he's not the only one, clearly, who thinks the decisions were wrong, but...
Yeah, but I think that the, as I say, we looked at it in the studio, Gordon, and he's in pitch side. He's getting a better feel for his players. And as a manager, and I've been in a dugout, and you watch players and you're thinking, I may just have to substitute him here because he's got to get yourself in bother. And you could see it coming. And I thought that the Hibs manager, I know he puts his trust in his players, but sometimes you've got to step in and make the decisions for him. And I thought he was wrong not substituting him.
Bit boring, Craig. Everybody's agreeing and everything. There's no argument to be had. What was your other point?
Aye, good. As I say, guys, apologies. Probably been a wee bit paranoid. As I said, didn't get a chance to listen last night. But yeah, for me, the boy that gets straight red card, it's if you're playing sevens with your mates and you're trying to get a wee bit of revenge because the blood's boiling, or, you know, school and daft tackles, and it was just lost their heads. But yeah, the second point is, I made this point previously when Kenny Miller was on the show, he kind of disagreed. I don't know if Hugh was on that night or not, but my concern about Rangers, I never want Rangers to lose a game, obviously, but ahead of Thursday night, I wouldn't mind us bowing out, you know, gracefully, you know, a 2-1 or a 1-0 or something against Benfica, because I know the quarterfinal's not until after we play Celtic, but it's just the thought of another couple of games. And this league is far, far, far too important this season. And you could say, oh, well, you might get a favourable draw and then there's chances semi-finals. That, for me, and listen, the players are dropping like flies at the moment. And, you know, I just get a funny feeling if Rangers have another couple of European games. I know there's an international break coming. I get all that. And as I say, it's not until after we play Celtic, but I just think if we went out against Benfica, it's not the worst thing. I think that, for me, would be pivotal in terms of the title race this season.
Philippe Clement would rather resign than make a diplomatic exit from the Europa League. No matter the injury problems, no matter what befalls Rangers, his intention is to win every trophy. And therefore, in order to win every trophy, you need to win every match. So... I know that historically Rangers and Celtic have struggled in seasons when they've gone to an advanced stage of Europe. However, I repeat, Philippe Clement would rather resign and go back to Belgium than take that approach to football.
Is it? Can you challenge yourself to think big picture though, Craig? And I know it's tough, everybody's just obsessed with like the next game, the next trophy, the next title, but financially it would benefit Rangers. You could make a case to say that the players in Rangers team, those, you know, some of the younger players, they'll get better from playing higher calibre European opposition.
Of course.
If you want to go even bigger picture, the guys you're trying to sign in the summer, maybe they're sitting up and taking notice because Rangers are going deep in Europe. Is it not just a risk you need to take?
Of course it is, yeah. But I'm just speaking like you mentioned there about previous seasons, and as I say, I was on a couple of weeks ago there speaking to Kenny about, you know, 2 years ago we got to, obviously, Seville. And Kenny made a very good point of, you know, a couple of days after Seville, we went to extra time with Hearts and we looked to fit our team. But, you know, the manager's made the point, which I thought was quite an interesting point after the game at Easter Road. He's like, we're picking up these injuries because pre-season wasn't right last year. You know, and he said that quite a few times about, you know, the what's happened before he's got here and why players are picking up hamstring injuries and this, that and the other. And listen, I would obviously rather go to Dublin and, you know, say, oh, we got to a European final again. But you know what the bragging rights are like in this city? It's like, oh, well, you didn't win anything. You won a League Cup and we won the title.
I don't think Craig will be alone in his thoughts of Thursday night. I disagree with him because I think if you're a Rangers player or you're involved in that staff or... Well, and you're going out on the pitch, you want to win every game. It'd be brilliant to be in the draw. It'll be a difficult game against Benfica. Yes, you can highlight there's a lot of injuries just now at Rangers, of course there are. But I think you make some good points, Gordon, about young players, about other players that are coming in the future, looking at the European runs and, you know, getting by Benfica on Thursday night if they can into the quarterfinals. So, you know, I think it's a plus. As much as I totally take on board that the league's a priority this year because it's so exciting, I take on board there's injuries, but I think Hugh is 100% correct. The Rangers manager will not accept that.
This is more of an aside, Hugh, rather than a one to interrupt the conversations that we're already having, but Craig, just when he mentioned Dublin, the sort of light bulb went off to bring up the fact, I don't know if you've seen this story, UEFA have admitted that a Europa League final between Rangers and Liverpool in Dublin could prove extremely challenging. Yeah, and water is wet, UEFA.
Challenging as in red alert.
I think it's all a bit strange though, right? Because, look, obviously, I wouldn't disagree with that, but, like, you set out at the start of a competition, like, usually your final venue just needs to be able to cope with whatever it throws up.
No, but the UEFA know that this has got more to do with matters out with football, out with anything other than...
No, but from UEFA's point of view, they are talking logistics. They're talking about Croke Park's been reserved as a fan zone, 82,000 capacity, but they're concerned that might not be enough to accommodate everyone who comes to Dublin. Well, that's the gist of it.
Forgive me, but my interpretation of that is they're afraid of trouble. That's what they're afraid of, and that's why it's challenging.
Mm. No, but it's also it's a numbers thing, first and foremost.
Well, the higher the numbers, the higher the risk. For me, the challenge comes in they don't want those two particular clubs in Dublin. Rangers fans come on here, and I've heard that several times, they all come on because the final's in Dublin. Why? Tell me then why. There's no big football club in Dublin. There are major grounds in Dublin, but Dublin seems to be important, and we all know why. Anyway, to go back to the football, I would like to hear the Philippe Clement team talk that says, lads, let's go out there and let's lose. Let's lose with dignity and we'll exit the tournament diplomatically.
Is that how he talks?
He does now.
Also, in fairness to Craig, he's not saying he actively wants to. He's saying he wouldn't really mind, but we'll see.
Philippe Clement doesn't do the bragging rights. He doesn't understand what you're on about. All that he wants to do is win football tournaments, domestic and European, if he possibly can. And all of this, let's go out quietly so that there's more energy in the tank left for Celtic. Philippe Clement doesn't do that.
Okay, thanks again to Craig on 01419511025. Let's go back to the phones and bring in Alan, who's in Port Glasgow. What's your take on the cup draw last night, Alan?
Hello, Gordon in here.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Before I make my point, Gordon, is it okay if I say something? I've been listening to your show for years and years, long before your time on here.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Keevans, I just hope he never retires from this show.
Oh, me too.
It may be man mate, but I think he's the best pundit on there. I love listening to him.
No offence, Gordon, by the way.
No, none taken. I think he's the best pundit as well.
I was just worried that Alan was going for rhyming slang.
Thank you, Alan.
We won't dwell on that. Alan, yeah, I don't mind a wee compliment his way every now and then. What are you thinking about this cup draw?
Well, the cup draw, I was watching the Morton game last night. I thought they were very unlucky, Morton, last night. But I wanted to watch it for the cup draw. And I knew right away, as soon as it was Rangers Hearts, Rangers were in the final. Hearts have always laid down Rangers. I'll give you a wee start. The last 34 games, Hearts have played Rangers. Rangers have won 23, drew 5, and lost 6. So it's that 88% success rate against Hearts. And I always hear punters, Gordon Dazzler.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got a game. Rangers have got a game in Hearts at the weekend. It's going to be a really, really tough game. And it's not just yourself that says that. It's every time they're playing Hearts, it's going to be a really tough game. And I'm sitting going, oh, come on. No, it's not. It's never a tough game. The last time they played them, you said it was going to be a tough game, and they beat them 3-0 without getting out of third gear.
5-0. Ibrox, 5-0.
So you seriously, there's a key phrase that we need to jump on. You seriously think Hearts lie down to Rangers, or are Rangers just better than Hearts?
No, I think Hearts lie down to Rangers.
Do Aberdeen lie down to Celtic?
Yes, well, your producer Chris asked me that, and yes, that's probably true as well. Yeah, but
is it though? So what does that say for your own team? Do you like not diminish all the good wins that Celtic have had against Aberdeen? You believe Aberdeen lie down to your team?
In a certain way, yeah, probably. Aberdeen will try harder against Rangers. Hearts will try harder against Celtic.
Do you know what?
You buying that, Hugh?
I just think that, and I said this on Saturday, so I'm not jumping on any bandwagons. Aberdeen are no longer a big club. 10 years since they won a trophy. Nearly 40 years since they won a title. 30-odd years since they won the Scottish Cup. That's why Celtic beat them most of the time, and Rangers for that matter. And confining myself to this season, as I said at the very start of the programme, Celtic have taken 6 off Aberdeen in one game, and Rangers have taken 5 off Hearts at Ibrox in another game. The Celtic and Rangers are overwhelming favourites to be the cup finalists, simply because they're better than the teams they play in the semi-finals.
It's a really boring explanation, right? But see, if you take Rangers' budget versus Hearts and Celtic's budget versus Aberdeen, they've got the record you would expect them to have. It just is what it is. And I know Hugh's point in, you know, compared to themselves, Aberdeen have underperformed, but they still remain amongst our big clubs, and same with Hearts. So in paper, it's as tough a draw as Celtic and Rangers can get when they're not playing each other. That doesn't mean they're not massive favourites. It doesn't mean that they're going to win. They're not going to win 9 times out of 10. And the theories about lying down are just as...
I think everyone in this show will be tipping Rangers and Celtic for a final. If you're Rangers or Celtic, I would rather look to that draw last night, and the one team I would have picked between Aberdeen and Hearts is certainly Aberdeen. I think Aberdeen aren't in a good place just now, obviously looking for a new manager. I just think that Hearts, and it will be a tough game, I'm going to tell you, it will be a tough game, because the one thing they've got is a goal scoring machine if he's fit. They've got decent enough players, Hearts, but you're right, Rangers have got better quality all over the pitch, and if Rangers turn up, they'll certainly win the game.
Thanks to Alan on 0141 951 1025. Let me tell you about this.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Right, if you missed it last week, Emily Sandy is the latest act to be announced for Clyde One Live. I've had Clyde One Super Scoreboard pundits on the phone today trying to arrange tickets for this. It's all part of our 50th birthday anniversary celebrations for this fine radio station. Emily Sandy is going to join Amy McDonald and Callum Beattie at the Ovo Hydro on Friday the 31st of May, and you can get your tickets by heading to Clyde1.com. But there are even more acts to be announced in the coming weeks, so make sure you don't miss out and grab your tickets now. Get that date in the diary, the Ovo Hydro, right here in Glasgow on the 31st of May.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL are here on 0141 951 1025. I'm actually honoured that you've decided to join us in light of you going big time recently. No,
big time.
I thought you'd have other things to do.
Like what?
You're not starring in some sort of Disney Pixar movie?
What?
Have you not seen this?
No.
Seriously?
I've not got a clue.
Do you know who Ronnie Pickering is?
No.
Never seen Ronnie Pickering, the viral road rage guy? No?
No.
So he went viral. It's a famous video of this guy named Ronnie Pickering. It's quite self-explanatory. It must be some sort of AI-generated thing. I'm assuming they're not actually brought out a film, unless I've really misunderstood the story. People keep sending me this like Disney Pixar version of Ronnie Pickering, right?
Yeah.
The only problem being, it doesn't even matter what Ronnie Pickering looks like, because this is the spitting image of you. It looks like Pixar have decided to make a film. Look at that. That is uncanny. That is you. Everything about that. You would even wear a hoodie like that. I won't even comment on your nose. It's too easy. Your hair, the facial expression. That is you. And I appreciate not everyone's watching the live stream, so my apologies. You'll need to catch up on YouTube. But so, look it up. Disney Pixar Ronnie. And oh, you would even admit that, wouldn't you?
Not at all. It doesn't look like me. Not a chance.
Yeah, yeah. An accurate facsimile. Yeah.
People
I don't got a big nose, but I've not got a big mouth. Or have I?
I would say so. And then the hair, everything about, I can just see that. And there you've got there's Mark Wilson in the passenger seat as well. Just getting a lift from you.
That certainly looks like him.
And do you know what, it's funny, I've actually, if you want to see it, go to my Twitter feed. That's probably easier. So it's at GordonDuncan7 on Twitter, or X, or whatever we call it. And I actually think the inspiration for this is your road rage video. I've retweeted that one tonight as well. Remember when you discovered that after me moving away from you, I had ditched you from the car school, and I'd started getting a lift with Roger Hanna instead. That is you.
You didn't put that on Twitter, did you?
Aye, twice now. Oh, I did it at the time and now it's back up.
I can only apologise.
For the industrial language.
Yeah.
Oh, was there a bit of that?
Yeah, I get caught out.
He called Roger a crawling something or other.
Right.
Anyway, listen, we move on, don't we? Robert is on the line. Sorry, Robert, I just had to make fun of Gordon DL. It's one of my favourite pastimes. What are you thinking about the Scottish Cup then?
I was enjoying the banter there, Boris. talking about that draw, just want to talk firstly about the last point that was on there, talking about Hart flying down to Rangers. Found that astonishing. Talking about the Aberdeen record against Celtic. I think Aberdeen have only beat Celtic once in the past 25 years, and it was to stop Rangers finishing second in the league. So, that's an interesting fact as well. If your boy wants to come back on and talk about that.
Well, in fairness, but, it was a version of the argument I hadn't heard before, Robert, because he, as a Celtic fan, said he felt Aberdeen lay down to Celtic, which I didn't really. Sorry, Tom Rogic and the unbeaten, invincible treble. Aberdeen were just.
I've never been one that bought into that. You're a professional player. You're out there playing for, you know, especially in the semi final, playing for a place in the cup final. You're obviously playing for bonus money as well. I never get the line
let's,
down.
Let's not dwell on it too much for now, Robert. What's your take on the current scenario then with the draw?
No, as a Rangers fan, I think the draw suits Celtic all over the back, to be honest with you. It's quite obvious Celtic are running scared of Rangers just now, especially when you look at our recent performances up against their recent performances. They've had, two guys out injured and then that's it. All of a sudden, they fold like a crepe. Do you know what I mean? But Rangers have had numerous injuries and they keep on churning out performance after performance. The Rangers treatment room just now must be like, I don't know, platoon or something, the amount of guys that are lying in there injured. But so you've got what's his name, Hatate, Carter Vickers and McGregor. For me, McGregor's a big one. If McGregor's out for the rest of the season or if he's out for these big games, Celtic season's basically done. I think, personally speaking, if Rangers go on to play Celtic in the next Old Firm game, we know McGregor, then I think we'll turn them over and then the league's done. Going back to your point as well about...
See, just quickly on the running scared point, though, do you not think Celtic, there still might be that slight confidence in there from the fact they've beaten Rangers twice this season on both those occasions? I think there was no Carter Vickers or Hatate, I could be wrong, certainly in one of them. You know, when the head-to-heads, there has still been something about them this season, though.
I think Rangers are a different animal now, let's be honest with you. Last time they played, Clement was just in the door, the 2-1 game, and even then, Rangers were battling Celtic for the last 10-15 minutes of that game. I think the full-time whistle came just in time for Celtic, if I'm 100% honest with you. Your boy talked about Clement as well, wanting to win it all four fronts. Of course he does, and that's going to be his public persona. He's not going to go behind closed doors and say we'd rather get beaten this X, Y, Z. But again, Rangers' bread and butter has to be the league, and for me, it's the Scottish Cup now, and obviously we've won the league, so the league cup. So to do the domestic treble, I would bite your hand off for that 100%. And Clement's not going to come out and say that publicly, is he? But I think behind the scenes, he would bite your hand off for that domestic treble as well.
What he has said publicly is that he's never won all domestic trophies in one season. He had a very good track record in Belgium, but didn't manage to do that. And he has publicly stated that he'd like to do the treble here. Because that's the DNA. Philippe Clement's DNA is to win every match that comes along. And he will go into the game against Benfica in that frame of mind.
I'm also not sure, this is not designed to take anything away from him. I don't think it's exclusive to him. I can't imagine many managers in his position saying, yeah, do you know what, if we were to go out of Europe, it wouldn't be the worst thing. Take Derek McInnes last week, someone asked him, would you rather fourth place or win the Scottish Cup? He didn't take it as a joke and he said, I want both. I think every manager does that.
I think the only reason that I bring that up in that way is that when Ange Postecoglou came here, he looked at people, and that's when he used the word mate, if he didn't understand their philosophy in life. Ange Postecoglou wasn't interested in bragging rights and this, that and the other. Only interested in winning matches. And Philippe Clement, again, not Scottish, has come here with that attitude in mind. He's come to build Rangers in the way that Ange Postecoglou built or rebuilt Celtic. So Ange Postecoglou will go in not a big pardon for Luke Clement, will go in wholeheartedly against Benfica. The Benfica manager is the one who's under pressure in that game, I would think, because if Roger Schmidt goes out to Rangers, he's a goner. By the time the plane lands in Lisbon, he'll be the ex-manager. So Philippe Clement will go in with that attitude in mind. Not, oh, how will this affect me at the weekend when we play Dundee? Purely and simply to take Rangers into the last eight of the competition.
Thank you very much to Robert. Reckon Celtic would be running scared of Rangers at this point in time. You can let us know your thoughts if you agree or disagree. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. Andy Halliday, another convincing win for him last night. Much easier tonight, looking at these two. Oh, yeah. Suitably uninspired.
Oh, yeah.
If you fancy it tonight, 0141 951 1025. Call before 7 o'clock and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL are both here waiting for you to get in touch, so do not let them down. I can't have that on my conscience. 0141 951 1025. We're talking Scottish Cup draw. What did you make of it? Just general reaction, trying to tap into the psychology of the Rangers Celtic, Celtic Rangers divide as well, wondering whether you would have rather waited to the final, which remains a possibility, or have met in the semis. We've been ticking along quite nicely on those types of themes. If you want to move on to something else, the Scotland squad seems like an obvious one. It's one of the last squads Stevie Clark will name before the Euros. So what did you make of it? Do you understand the want to stay fairly loyal and consistent? Would you have tried something else? Would you have thrown in a last minute experiment? There are four goalies in there, only three strikers. What did you make of the squad today? We've got championship games tonight. We can look back on the cup game from last night. The Aberdeen managerial search still goes on. There is a lot out there. So let's hear it on 0141 951 1025. And we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. How's the recent form, you two?
Mine's is brilliant. 5-0 last Tuesday.
5-0, was it?
5-0.
Oh, good on you.
Brilliant. You brilliant play, performance.
We played Mark Wilson.
That was a terrific performance, yeah. I was just on it.
Hugh Keevans has a significantly better win percentage than you this season.
Yeah, but I've played most games.
Let me go quickly through this and see which pundit's win percentage is closest to their age. Must be. You're 70, Hugh. 70%. You must be the closest. Oh, no, you're not far off, Gordon DL.
What have I got?
58%. We all know you're 62 at the weekend, so I'm getting there. Anyway.
Yeah, just tell everybody, Gordon. Spoil it for me.
100% record still for Kenny Miller, Roger Hanna, Andy Halliday.
100%?
Yeah. They're the three, the trio.
They're not going to get beat, are they?
Tough.
That'd be a good end of season.
Pit them against each other.
Yeah.
You've got to fancy Roger still. I don't care what Miller and Halliday say.
Oh, I don't know.
He's the only one that starts on minus one. He's that good.
Ah, right enough.
Yeah. Anyway, Kevin's in Forfar. How's it going, Kevin?
All right, how are you guys? Hugh, Gordon.
Hi there.
Hi, Kevin.
Have you ever played this before, Kevin?
No, just in the car on the way to work.
Do you tend to do all right?
I have been, but the past few days I've not been very good.
Do you shout them out, or do you just say them in your head?
I sort of just whisper them quite quietly.
Whisper, if anyone sees Kevin on the road, I think I'd shout them out.
Shout them out, yeah.
I shout them out in the kitchen, and the Lady Keevans of Bears Dead, and, shut up, what are you talking about?
I've just got in mind there, and this is maybe a niche reference if people don't watch it. You watch Gogglebox?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know Giles and Mary?
Yeah.
And everything he does annoys her.
Yeah.
That's what I've got in my head here. As you're saying the answers to Beat the Pundit, Mrs. Keevans is saying, shut up.
Yeah,
you silly man.
Yeah, she's thinking to herself, I've married well beneath myself here.
Anyway, let's toss the coin. If it's heads, it will be Hugh Keevans. If it's tails, it will be a man who certainly knows a thing or two about marriage. It's Gordon DL. And it is heads, Hugh, against Kevin from Forfar. Don't whisper them this time, Kevin, eh?
No.
Make sure you give them nice and loud. So we'll give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to, and that way you can't hear what's going on. We'll put 30 seconds on the clock, Kevin, and your time starts now. How many goalkeepers are in the Scotland squad announced today?
Four.
Which current Celtic player has won the most trophies?
Callum McGregor.
What type of bird flies around the stadium at Benfica before every game?
An eagle.
Who's the only member of the Scotland squad announced today that doesn't play in Europe?
Rangel.
Who scored Hearts winner last night, semi-final against Morton?
Pass.
The Warriors, the Loons and the Bully Wee all play in which Scottish league?
SPFL League 2.
How many spells did James McFadden have at Motherwell? Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
I think you'll get a 10, mate.
I know, you were listening there, I could hear it.
Yeah. Bob Marley.
After Mark Wilson's film review on Sunday night, he wasn't having that at all.
No, I hated it.
He said, don't go and see it. Don't waste your money.
Especially if you take your own sweets and they didn't even have the decency to buy a picnic.
One of those, about 2 days later, well, today would be 2 days later, wouldn't it? Let's go a day later. I just recalled you in the office asking Mark Wilson if Bob Marley was in the film.
No, I did not. Who told you that? No,
don't start. I heard it. What do you mean?
Don't start.
And it just came back to me. And I thought that's spectacular. Actually. Right. Anyway, same
you're
getting
a 10 here, mate.
Can I blow my nose in the live stream?
Well, as long as I don't blow mine.
Rather he didn't.
Because
anyway,
that ball would move.
Are you ready, Hugh?
Yes, I am.
Let's go now. How many goalkeepers are in the Scotland squad announced today? Which current Celtic player has won the most trophies?
Callum McGregor.
What type of bird flies around the stadium at Benfica ahead of every game? Who's the only member of the Scotland squad announced today that doesn't play in Europe?
Jack Henry.
Who scored Hearts winner in last night's semi-final Kenneth against Morton? The Warriors, the Loons and the Bully Wee all play in which Scottish league?
The League Two.
How many spells did James McFadden have at Motherwell?
Two.
What club has been managed by Alex Neil, Sandy Clark, John Lambie?
Oh, Hamilton Accies.
Yeah.
Kevin, have you done enough?
No, I don't think so.
I thought you were all right though, Kevin. But he did sound quite confident tonight. Must have been that last minute.
I was going to go for James Forrest. No,
just you wait. Just have a bit of patience,
James Forrest,
and you will find out.
James Forrest count, or was it Callum McGregor? Because I said both.
I know you did. We'll get to that. How many goalkeepers are in the Scotland squad? Which, see that seamless transition. Why don't you phone in about that? Because it is quite an interesting point. It's four: Craig Gordon, Angus Gunn, Xander Clark and Liam Kelly. Only three will go to the Euros, but four involved today. What do you make of that? Anyway, beat the pundit, you both got it correct. Which current Celtic player has won the most trophies? The most frustrating rule on Beat the Pundit, Kevin, is that I have to accept your first answer. Kevin said James Forrest, I mean Callum McGregor. The other way around. He said Callum McGregor, I mean James Forrest. And it is James Forrest. 22-20. So it stays one each. What type of bird flies around the stadium at Benfica ahead of every game? It is an eagle. You both got it. It's always going to be something like that, wasn't it? It's hardly going to be like a pigeon, like something really underwhelming. It's an eagle. So there we go. To all. The only member of the Scotland squad announced today that doesn't play in Europe is Jack Henry. As soon as he got that, and you didn't, Kevin, I thought, the old fella has got the bit between his teeth tonight. Al Ittifaq.
Yes.
In Saudi Arabia. So there we go. One up to Hugh Keevans. Kenneth Vargas got the Hearts goal last night. Two up, Hugh Keevans. You weren't done yet though, Kevin. You knew, and I suppose maybe being from Forfar, you know your lower leagues. The Warriors, the Loons and the Billy Wee play in League Two. So you got that one, but Hugh stays in front. How many spells did James McFadden have at Motherwell? It was three.
Oh. Yeah.
None of you got that right. And unfortunately, Kevin, you ran out of time, but Hugh knew that Alex Neil, Sandy Clark and John Lambie have all managed Hamilton Accies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a 6-3 win for Mr. Hugh Keevans. He's getting better with age. Hard lines, Kevin.
No worries, cheers, boy.
Good, yeah, man.
Cheers, Kevin. Keep shouting out the answers.
He whispered the right ones. Remember, he whispered. I thought Kevin did fine, but this man, that was good.
I thought they were quite easy tonight.
Did you?
Yeah.
Would you have got Jack Henry?
No, that's the only one I wouldn't have got.
I knew you wouldn't.
I would never have got him. That was the only one I didn't get.
Would you have got the rest?
Yeah. All day long. Yeah, James Forrest, that's why.
I actually think you might have.
Yeah, I would have.
I'm annoyed at myself because I rattled on Sunday about James Forrest, 17 seasons at Celtic.
I know, that's what I thought.
And then you spoke very highly of him tonight at the start of the show.
Yeah. I mean, Matthew makes a fair point on the stats. He says Christopher from Ayrshire beat Roger Hannah this season, so he can't have a 100% record. I believe that Stewards' inquiry is so detailed that they're still looking into that. So Roger Hannah's 100% record, I think,
maybe
stays intact. So Hannah Man, Kenny Miller and Andy Halliday, the 100% club so far. But a win for Hugh Keevans. You can try your best tomorrow night at the same time. I've actually got something else to give away later this hour, so stay tuned for that. Always like to be nice and generous and give something away, so please stand by for that a bit later on this hour. Perfect transition, as we said. If you'd love to get your calls in, or I'd love you to get your calls in, sorry about that Scotland squad today, because it is getting close. Of all the daft friendlies we've played over the years, and we don't play many anymore because of the Nations League and so on, how nice is it to play a friendly leading up to a major tournament? So what did you make of the squad today? Four goalies, only three strikers, a very familiar look. Anything that you took away from it, this is the place to share. 0141 951 1025. We will get some calls on that very soon. Let's go Greg in Stirling first though. Greg, what did you make of the cup draw last night?
Hi Gordon, hello panel, how are you doing?
Good, thank you, good.
Well, I was saying to the producer, I'll be totally honest, I never even knew the draw was last night, but
we broke the news to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids,
yeah.
I like that.
I would have seen it, obviously, but it was just it was the first
time. It was a bit late, to be fair.
But, yeah, I'm very confident, to be honest with you. When Celtic play anybody in Scotland, I'm confident, always confident in my team. But it was more to touch on the Aberdeen lie down, Hearts lie down thing. That's just, I don't get that. Like, I don't understand so many parts to that. Like, before the game, obviously, you're in the dressing room, the changing rooms, and I don't understand what the team talk would be. I don't understand how they could. I just don't get it. There's just so many parts to it that I don't understand, and I just think it's silly to think that that's actually a thing. And
I think the language we use is important. I don't want to get bogged down in this because we do it so often. I think there will always be this subconscious bit that nobody can prove or disprove, that maybe there's something about a certain fixture with the intensity or rivalry and atmosphere, and maybe it brings out the best in you. Fine, that's different from lying down. I mean, as Greg says, how does that plan get put in place? It just doesn't. So I think the language we use,
this is as old as the hills. I take you back to, I think the year was 1986, and Celtic won the league under David Haye, final day of the season, by virtue of beating St Mirren. And the theory was, St Mirren lay down to Celtic so that Hearts would not win the title. Now, what that went out for me. Old Firm fans in particular need a conspiracy theory to keep them warm. And as Gordon said earlier, we don't buy into that. How do you conduct your pre-match team talk, Luke, when you go out there? Do not, under any circumstances, try against them.
But like I said, the language is important. Maybe just in a much more innocent way, Gordon, there is a feeling that Hearts have got a better chance of doing something against one half than the other. You know, just based on recent history, you could say that. However, both Hearts and Aberdeen don't have a great record against their respective opponents for these semi-finals.
Yeah, and I can't see that changing in the semi-finals. I keep saying it, I know the caller wasn't having it. Look, you've got to win the game first. If you look at Hearts, they've got decent players. They've got a quality side. They've got a guy that can score goals for fun. So that's always got to be a danger in a one-off cup game at Hampden. But Rangers will start that as massive favourites. The same with Celtic. I would imagine that Celtic will have some of their big hitters back. And they will have a lot more in the tank, enough for Aberdeen. So, no, I'm with you. I think that players maybe get a little edge against certain teams, but never lied
to. Let's bring it up to the present time, Greg. Do you, the possibility that it's Rangers in the final rather than the semi, does that suit you as a Celtic fan? Do you feel Celtic need a bit of time at the moment, or would you have been more than happy to crack on and deal with it sooner rather than later?
Me personally, it doesn't bother me, Gordon, to be honest with you. The Old Firm, I think it was actually Hugh that said this, it's a separate life force, regardless of how Rangers are doing and how Celtic are doing. Obviously, that plays a factor to some extent, but it doesn't bother me. I mean, if anything, I would choose them in the final. But no disrespect to Aberdeen, that's if we go through, of course. But in general terms, just for the occasion, really, you know, an Old Firm final. I know for neutrals, obviously, that means nothing, but for Old Firm fans, it just adds that wee bit extra, that wee bit of spice on it. It's in the final. So, yeah, it doesn't bother me, to be honest with you. Just hopefully we do the business against Aberdeen.
The Aberdeen semi-final is fascinating. I mean, as things stand at the moment, they don't have a full-time manager, Aberdeen. They are also minus Graham Shinney in the semi-final because of suspension. And the loss of Shinney is as big to Aberdeen as the loss of Callum McGregor is to Celtic. So, you know, the Celtic cannot afford to go from treble winners to a trophy-less season. So Brendan Rodgers must understand the importance of that semi-final, and he's taking on Aberdeen without their best or most inspirational player. Put it that way, if Majowski hits form, then he's their best player. But their most inspirational figure is Shinney, the captain.
Great gig for the next Aberdeen manager, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, you would imagine they'll have somebody in place before the semi-final, surely.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just win a game and get yourself to the final.
You could make yourself an instant hero.
There have been examples of that in the past.
Two games and you've made yourself a hero already.
Was it when Stuart McCall was appointed Motherwell manager? I think he only won a game or two to get to a Scottish Cup final, is what I'm saying, and lost to Celtic. That one that Mark Wilson claims
he scored
in. I think that was the case then. I could be wrong. But yeah, it's not bad, is it? Just come in and win a game and you're in the final, potentially, albeit a tough one.
The whole scenario surrounding who the new manager will be is, again, a fascinating one for me because they haven't yet started the interview process. They've had Bernhard Peters, formerly in charge of Hoffenheim behind the scenes in the Bundesliga. He has undertaken the review of Aberdeen's infrastructure, if you like, and presumably there will be some input from him on who the new manager should be. Could it be a foreign manager for only the first time since Ebi Skovdal? At Pittodrie. So the whole process is fascinating. And I don't know how you quickly go through all the candidates and interview them. You know, it's got to take a certain length of time. And then Aberdeen know that they can't have another calamity after.
I'm baffled with you. I don't know about you. I'm baffled because the minute I watch Neil Warnock celebrate after beating Kilmarnock, I'm thinking, right, okay, he's got to sell into a semi final. Beat the Kilmarnock, who were favourites on the day, because everybody fancied Kilmarnock to win it. Then he resigns or he steps down, whatever it may be. Aberdeen come out with a statement saying, look, as far as I was led to believe, I was waiting for a manager to be announced over the next day or two.
Because
now saying about interviews and is it Peter Bernard?
Bernhard Peters.
All of a sudden, he's came from nowhere, he's getting involved in it. It baffles me just now, Aberdeen.
I'm just distracted by the fact that my Stuart McCall timeline's off. It's just off there.
Was it?
Nah, it's not nowhere near what I thought that was. But anyway, there we go. It was the right season, and Mark Wilson definitely didn't score in the final.
No, it was an own goal.
We can agree on that. Thank you to Greg. We're going to speak to Daniel, who's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL are here. We're about to speak to Daniel in just a second or two. Keep your calls coming. Just need to quickly line up a couple of things before we speak to Daniel. I want to remind you, if you fancy winning a smart TV and a football kit, head to Clyde1.com and check that out, because Clyde One Super Scoreboard is always the place to be for European football coverage this season. Rangers, as you know, last 16, will update you on all the action from the second leg against Benfica at Ibrox this Thursday, with Andrew McLean will be there. And that's all thanks to Meta Betting, the home of sports betting. 18 plus, be gamble aware. Please stay in control and bet responsibly. There is no gambling to be done here. Let me quickly set up your question before we speak to Daniel.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, offering champion bespoke media units to put you right in the game.
Oh my goodness, this is tough. Really, really tough, guy. But I'll just give you the question and you can give me the answers later. Hopefully, don't need to give me any right now. Roberts from Glasgow sent it in. Six players have been sent off in a Scottish Cup semi-final since 2011. That is really, really tough. I mean, a final maybe, but who remembers the semis? Six players sent off in a Scottish Cup semi-final since 2011. I'll leave it with you, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's do it. Daniel's been hanging on for quite some time and he's calling all the way from Virginia. How's it going, Daniel? Sorry.
How you doing, gents?
Not good. Bad. How are you? What made you call tonight?
I've been tuning in on YouTube, lads. I'm in America and enjoy the show. So I'm actually a former teammate of Andy Halliday's back in our youth days.
Ah, so. Brilliant. At Livingston?
Yeah. Aye, Livy, mate. He's turned into a great pundit, hasn't he?
He's done all right, I have to say. What are you doing with yourself in Virginia, Daniel? Do you still play football or are you been out there for a while?
Mate, those days are long gone, mate. Actually, my old man and I, we run a club. We've got our own wee youth club over here.
Brilliant.
So it's a good little gig.
Good on you.
I'll probably spend more time on the golf course these days.
Oh, don't start. Oh,
I'm
dear,
coming
on
over.
That topic. Do not start them. Right, what are you thinking tonight then, Daniel?
I'm just a bit surprised that Steve Clark hasn't given Ryan Gold a chance and has instead opted for four goalkeepers, which I find rather underwhelming. You know, he's flying over here and he carried a mediocre Vancouver team last season. I think he churned out something like 12 goals and 17 assists. And I think he was even up for Candidate of the Year over here in MLS. And I just think he's due a call-up and just a chance, you know. And I appreciate, obviously, that Clark's loyalty, seasoned veterans like McLean and Armstrong. And I've got no qualms with that. But I just think they should be given the nod. I don't think the Gold should be given the nod at the expense of those, you know, especially given his form and ability to contribute assists and goals.
He's a classic case of out of sight, out of mind. Ryan Gold.
Not for Daniel T. He knows, he's seen him.
Yeah, but Daniel's in the States. When he went to Portugal as a young man, Ryan Gold, he drifted out of the picture. And it's not just Steve Clark. Steve Clark's predecessor didn't pick Ryan Gold either. He's had a very good career. He is to be admired. He went to Portugal, learned the language, assimilated himself into the culture, played good football, and now has a very nice spot in MLS. But he is out of sight, out of mind.
He is the number one suggestion, really, that people always say he should be. He's 28. He's never been called up by the A squad, the full squad. It clearly doesn't look like it's going to happen, Gordon. Just a recap in case anyone hasn't seen the squad. So it is four goalkeepers, which is quite an interesting point. Xander Clark, Craig Gordon, Angus Gunn, Liam Kelly. A lot of defenders in there. Cooper Hanley, Hendry McKenna, Porteous and Suter would be your central defenders. Patterson, Ralston, Robertson, Tierney, the sort of wider ones, if you like. Armstrong, Christie, Ferguson, Gilmore, McGinn, McLean, McTominay, and then Adams, Dykes, and Shankland. Ryan Gold, I think you need to hold your hands up and say you won't have watched loads of Ryan Gold, but is it just one of those things that people are going to keep suggesting and it's never going to happen?
No, I think we've got to put our trust in the manager. Steve Clark has been fantastic. He obviously will have watched some of his games and knows the form that he's in, but just feels that I was a bit surprised with the four goalkeepers. I can understand it. I just think Steve Clark's keeping everything nice and tight with his squad, the guys that, you know, played big parts and getting us to the Euros. He's rewarding them. I look at that squad, the one player, and I know we can all pick, the one player I want to see in the friendlies is Lewis Ferguson. I think he's been, and there's a lot of interest in Italy for him. He's been over there, learned the language, as Hugh quite rightly says, and he's a massive player for Bologna. So, look, there's probably one or two out there. Jacob Brown's missed out this time.
I think he's injured though as well. Injured. I think he is. So you look at that squad at the moment with the Euros in mind, Callum McGregor is coming back into that squad.
Yeah.
Aaron Hickey, if it is 100% coming back into the squad, one of the goalies will drop out. And then that's that. I think that's pretty much it then, Daniel. Is that, I mean, Ryan Gold ain't going to the Euros now, is he, if he hadn't get called up for these friendlies? So I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, no, and it's more so like, I know he doesn't kind of fit Steve's Clark's philosophy in terms of sitting in a low block playing on the counter, but you know, if we're a goal down at the Euros and we're looking for a little bit of magic or something to break a line, then I think he's the kind of player that could do that. And I know he's similar almost to Ryan Christie in that way. And I fully agree with Gordon Dale on Lewis Ferguson. He's been brilliant. I've managed to catch a few games on the telly And he's been top. But I do think Ryan Gold, he's that kind of player, gets you off the edge of your seat, you know, and I think we lack that. And I think another one of those doesn't hurt us, you know.
Yeah, it does look like it's just... I actually feel like Gordon, the moment had passed by way before now, really. Mm-hmm. If you think back, you know, Steve Clark has... There's a bit of a perception that he stays loyal to the same players, which he kind of does now. Mm-hmm. Look at the number of players that Stevie, and I always bring this up when the argument presents itself. Even go back to Serbia, the last time we qualified. You're talking about a team that, you know, Lee Griffiths, Ollie McBurney, Callum Patterson. Mm-hmm. Now, Steve Clark has tried a lot of players for Scotland. He has. I know people don't think it. I'm sure there was a stat that in Euro 2020 qualifying, we used more players than any other team in the competition. Yeah, everybody keeps telling you that Steve Clark just picks the same players. Is that a myth?
Yeah, I totally agree. I go back to what I said there, Gordon. We've got to put the trust in the manager. He knows the players. He knows what he wants. He knows what he's looking for. Obviously, Daniel puts up a good case for Gold coming on and that trickery. We got that. But if everybody's fit, then I do not see... I think everybody could name the squad that's gone over apart from... What goalkeepers you got to leave out?
Yeah. Let's hear a bit. Let's thank Daniel for his time, by the way. Daniel, appreciate you calling. Hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
Sounds great, mate. Thanks,
good
guys.
Good man. Take care. Daniel over in Virginia. Let's hear from Steve Clark. I wonder about your thoughts on this. You know, do you think it would have been worth trying someone like Ryan Gold? Do you stick up for Steve Clark, keeping the continuity? What about those four goalkeepers? Would you have done that? Who's going to make way for the Euros? Get all your thoughts in right now if you can. Steve Clark has spoken specifically about Craig Gordon. That's clearly the headline from today. 41 years of age, back in the squad. He's only played 3 times since returning from that double leg break, and the manager says he wants to test him against the other 3 in the squad.
Gives us a chance to look at Craig up close, so it'll be nice to see him in training with the other goalkeepers. 3 of those goalkeepers will go to the Euros and 1 will miss out, and that's the situation. When he was first injured, he said he was going to make a comeback. He said he was going to stick in. So mentally and physically, good recovery. Nice to see him on the pitch again. The key thing for me is to make sure that come the start of May, I've got tough selections to make.
Do you understand the criticism from the previous callers? You know, why take 4 goalkeepers just now? A lot of people saying that. Is it not very simple, though, that right now...
Yeah.
Why upset anyone right now? Right, mm-hmm. If somebody gets injured, there's a very good chance that Clark, Gordon, Gunn and Kelly could be called upon, right? Because all it takes is obviously for one of them to get injured and the other 3 would need to go. What's the point in culling one of them now? You know, kind of upsetting them or whatever, or putting their nose out of joint. If you're not of a mind to go and pluck a Ryan Gold from nowhere or pluck Ryan Hardy from the Championship or what all these other names that you hear suggested... Is that why he's done it? You might as well. You might as well just keep it that way just now.
The whole nature of the games against the Netherlands and Northern Ireland is that it's experimental by nature. And, I mean, for bravery, how could you look beyond Craig Gordon? A man who spent nearly 3 years out of football because of severe injury and then had a great time at Celtic, who at an advanced stage in his football life suffers a horrific injury and comes back. Of course the manager wants to have a look at him, and it may very well be that it's Liam Kelly who pays the price or Xander Clark who pays the price. He wants a good look at Craig Gordon because he appreciates the talent, the experience level, and why ever not give him a chance.
Who are the... We're getting ahead of ourselves, but it's exciting. It's an exciting summer. Who are the ones that need to prove themselves in this friendly then, or these friendlies? Because that's a 25-man squad.
Yeah.
23 go to the Euros. Right. Well, so take a goalie off.
Yeah. McGregor will be back
right,
in.
Right, so... And so will Hickey.
Yeah.
Right, so what are we back up at? 26? It's 25 now. Take one of the goalies off. We're 24. Down at 24. Those 2 come back in. Takes you to 26.
So there's got
3
to be...
of them. 3. So 3 of them miss out. There are a lot of centre halves there. Cooper, Hanley, Hendry, McKenna, Porteous, and Suter.
Hendry's the one that surprises me.
Oh, but he's played constantly.
I think Cooper will be.
He also plays in a league that's next door to non-competitive.
I know, but he's played a lot. He was in Steve Clark's team a lot. Hanley's been injured. Yeah. Cooper's getting on. and then their experience, though, so you're balancing. The suitor's not always been in squads. Is there a centre half going to drop out?
Yeah, I think it'll be Cooper, if I'm honest.
Does like his experience, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, look, I think Cooper's a decent enough player, but you've got the, you know, people who say, well, he's the left-sided player, gives you the balance, which he obviously does, but Tierney plays it. That'll be Tierney's position.
And this
position.
Is assuming everybody's fit, obviously.
Everybody's fit, yeah. But so I think Cooper will be struggling. Could be wrong, but I think he's won.
If Hickey does come back in, and given that he can play both sides, Ralston and Greg Taylor, they're ones that are not always in squads either.
I don't think Ralston
will
go.
He could, that's what I say, come in this time and really prove themselves.
Yeah, I just because he's obviously just now he's not number one pick for Celtic at right back. So I think that, like, he's a good player to call upon, no doubt about that. He never lets anybody down. But I think if you're trimming the squad, and unfortunately people have got to miss out, they will look at the likes of Ralston and maybe Taylor.
If Jacob Brown, he's not scored many goals or whatever, but if he's only out of the squad because of injury, that's another one that you need to try.
Well,
Ryan Jack's not in the squad.
Well, we've got three strikers in there. I think you need to go Euros with four strikers. So Jacob Brown, if he's fit, will probably come in.
You need to ditch somebody else.
I think Steve Clark, and I think Hugh's right, he's just keeping everything nice and tight, keeping everybody happy. That's why he's maybe not thinking outside the box and bringing someone in. I think he's got enough there, and if he keeps everybody fit, then he's got a difficult job because he'll need to make a couple of difficult phone calls.
Somebody is bound to say, yeah, you're going to get an injury, but I'm just not opening my mind to the possibility. I'm staying positive that everybody's available. Certainly the goalkeeping situation, one of the headlines from today. So what do you think, Kenny, in Rutherglen?
Hi guys, thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
It was just a wee quick one. See, since Craig Gordon's came back for that awful injury, and Angus Gunn has took the number one, I'm just wondering, would there be a one straight shootout for the number one for the Euros between Gunn and Craig Gordon?
It's an interesting one. How do you view that picture now then? Because there's four, and this is the one that's advertised. Steve Clark says, well, one of them will drop out, not taking four. Can Craig Gordon, is he going to start at the Euros for Scotland if he only plays cup games from now to the end of the season for Hearts?
This is entirely guesswork on my part. I think Steve Clark would like to go with Gunn and Gordon, and I think either Xander Clark or Liam Kelly will drop out. I think he looks at Craig Gordon and thinks, this is the type of guy I want with me. Even though he hasn't been playing a lot of first team football, be interesting to see how many games he gets between now and the end of the season. Does Stephen Naismith leave him as the cup goalie even after there's no cup? But for me, guesswork, I think the manager is thinking, I want Gunn and I want
Gordon. It's a funny one, because if you look at it, he's not number one at Hearts, because Xander Clark's number one. He'll play in the league games. But if I look at the Scotland with the four goalkeepers, I'd probably put Craig Gordon as number two to Angus Gunn.
But Kenny's asking about the number one. Can Craig Gordon be Scotland's number one?
No.
If he's just a cup goalkeeper at Hearts this season?
No. Angus Gunn will start as the number one. I think he deserves to do that. And I think Steve Clark's got a lot of belief in Angus Gunn. So I think he'll be the number one goalkeeper. That's assuming everybody's fit, Gordon. But Craig Gordon could go there with the experience that he's got, and I think Steve Clark would like that.
If you're to throw another scenario in there that I've only just actually thought of, Hearts are 13 points clear in third. Is there a possibility that once third is wrapped up, Craig Gordon comes back in and plays the remainder of the league games?
Yes.
And if you're Xander Clark at that point, you're going, any chance, gaffer, because you know, it changes things maybe. For Scotland
I think that's a bit unfair. I really do. I think you've got to earn the right to be the number one goalkeeper. I don't think it'll be a sympathy vote. Listen, we've finished third, so we'll throw you in hoping that you get on the plane to the Euros. Because he's got to be fair to Xander Clark. Xander Clark's still producing. Xander Clark's been very good for Hearts in league business since he's come in. So I think you need to balance that one out, right?
If your third place is nailed on, you could always rotate.
By the way, there might not be that many games to spare. I know it's a sizeable gap, but it still doesn't equate to like 10 matches that you're going to have that's some sort of dead rubber. That's not going to be the case. So good question, Kenny. We will watch with interest. Thank you very much. Did you have any answers to that teaser.
This is the most random question. Therefore,
it's a bit. I have to say,
it's Halliday one.
Can you name six players who've been sent off in a Scottish Cup semi-final since 2011?
Halliday, no one.
Nah.
Morelos.
No. It's tough. Really tough.
I was going to go.
Kyle Lafferty.
Near Beaton.
Actually, do you know what? I have to hold my hands up. I mean, that I didn't pick the question out, but when I got it in the office and I kind of skimmed over it, I thought it was Scottish Cup finals. If you can remember six from a semi, I'll be amazed.
Right, give us
Ian Black.
What about the? There's actually someone we've been talking Craig about Gordon. On the show tonight. Yes.
When did he get sent off?
Yeah, are you kidding on? The famous Inverness episode.
Don't remember that.
The handball. Josh Meekings spoke about it for 6 months on the show after that day. Craig Gordon, well done. Okay.
Always a goalie.
Alan Power.
Nah, I'll give you some thinking time. In the meantime, let's do this. This will be good fun. Do you like that? Like that music? Do you?
That's
well,
great,
Clyde
yeah.
One is once again the official radio station of the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. That's why we've got these two comics alongside me this evening. And all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've got tickets to give away to some of the shows. Not only that, we're going to throw in a meal for two as well. So tonight we're giving away tickets to see Frank Skinner's show 30 Years of Dirt at the King's Saturday the 23rd. And we're throwing in dinner and a bottle of wine at Glasshoe as well. Very nice, by
lovely.
The way.
Like that. Lovely.
So easy to win as well. All you have to do, well, in theory it's easy, is give me the punchline to a football joke which our resident comedian Gordon DL is about to tell you. So he's going to give you the first part of the joke. Sorry, I'll give you it in a minute.
All right, okay.
He's going to give you the first part of the joke. You have to provide the punchline. But before that, the Comedy Festival have been in touch and they've been recommending some gigs for our pundits. For example, for Gordon DL, they recommend that you go and see Aaron Wood's show Living the Dream, because, you know, in your spare time you play a lot of football, you go to a lot of football, you play a lot of golf,
yeah.
You do a lot of other things that bring you great pleasure in your life, so I think many would agree that the Dazzler is living the dream.
Yeah.
For you, Hugh Keevans, you should go to Carol Spain's Well, What Did You Expect? Because
Just
when
living.
You get going on a rant, Well, What Did You Expect? Is something you're going to hear through the speaker. So that would work. Anyway, Gordon DL, I've circled it for you at the bottom of the page.
I think I've got it.
All you have to do is deliver that one line. Don't mess this up.
I dare say, so tonight here's Gordon DL with your joke.
No, you don't.
Why not? Why are footballers so good at exams?
There you are, delivered expertly. Why are footballers so good at exams? If you can guess the punchline that I've got on my page here, you could go and see Frank Skinner Saturday 23rd at the King's with dinner. All you have to do is call right now, 01419511025. Why are footballers so good at exams? Call us right now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One at Super Scoreboard. We said all this week we were going to give some stuff away, which we always like to do, a night out on us. So let's play this. Where's my dramatic comedy music?
I know.
It doesn't work without it. There we go. We need some canned laughter as well. Anyway, we'll get tickets to see Frank Skinner's show 30 Years of Dirt at the King's Saturday 23rd of March. We're throwing in dinner and wine at Glasshoe as well. It's all part of the International Comedy Festival, which starts tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow we're going to be joined in the studio by comedian and big football fan Mark Nelson as well. But before that, we wanted you to guess the punchline to this joke. Gordon DL,
why are footballers so good at exams?
Let's bring in Kevin from Cowglen. How's it going, Kevin?
Not too bad. How's yourself?
Not bad. Give us the punchline, Kevin. Why are footballers so good at exams?
Because they're good at passing.
Hey, Hugh Keevans has fallen off his chair with the hilarity.
Well,
but you,
slap my thigh.
You, Kevin, are the winner. You're off to see Frank Skinner's show 30 Years of Dirt. There's dinner and a bottle of wine for two at Glasshoe for the 23rd of March as well. Happy with that, Kevin?
He's happy.
Who's the fan club?
I think my son's happier than me.
You tell him he's not coming to drink the wine though. We can't have that.
No, it's my birthday weekend. That weekend, so we've got babysitters booked out. So works out fantastic.
That worked out very well indeed. Kevin, enjoy it on us. Take care.
Thanks, Thanks a lot, mate. Cheers.
There we go.
Bye. We've got more tickets for you to win tomorrow. In the meantime, there are extra chances to win at Clyde1.com. There we go. Good at passing. Yeah,
like yeah, that. I like yeah. that. I would never guess that.
Seriously?
No, I wouldn't have gotten that. Were you getting that, Hugh?
Relatively straightforward, isn't it?
Because know how to pass. That would have been my version of it.
Know how to pass. That's better, actually. Get up, right. Q's got the wine. Sorry, Kevin. We've sacked it off. Right, this teaser is extremely tough, but I do think you've got some during the break. I was eerie wigging. Can you name six players who've been sent off in a Scottish Cup semi final since 2011? We got Craig Gordon before the break.
I think Rangers Celtic McCrory won. Ross McCrory.
Yes, a Rangers Celtic game 2018 yeah. Hamden. Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
And before he went to Italia, Lewis Ferguson for Aberdeen.
Correct, Aberdeen Celtic 2019. Any more?
Many that we've got.
Three down, three to get.
Southern now.
Joe Newell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's the most recent one, so that's probably why you remember that one. Only two to get. Both for the same team, both against the same opposition. But one of them's back 2011, one is a bit more recent. Okay, let's squeeze in one more call. Stuart is a Motherwell fan from Uddingston. How are you, Stuart?
Hello, Gordon, how are you? Right, panel.
Good here, Stuart. What's your point tonight?
Just making a wee change of point tonight about Motherwell. I'm just saying about, talk about Kettlewell. He's obviously an interim manager who's turned out, I think, actually a bit of a success.
So you think some of the criticism earlier in the season, it was good to be patient and see results
turn? I think, considering the start of the season was actually really good, and then he's went through a hard spell in the middle, you know what I mean? But injuries and that, you know what I mean? So when you look at the circumstances as well, in January we lost our best player, you know what I mean, and Nika Biroff, striker, and then we were struggling. But I think Theo Bears came in and he's done a brilliant job considering the background and what it was like last season. But I think Kettlewell's actually a really good manager for us now, and I think he deserves his contract.
There's a bottom line at clubs like Motherwell, and that is keep us in the division. And there was a point in the season when you felt that Motherwell were sliding towards a bit of danger, but Stuart Kettlewell, to his credit, has turned the corner. And of course there was the win at Ibrox, which confirmed that the corner had been turned, and he's now becoming Aberdeen's worst nightmare because they have to go to Fir Park before the international break, and the last thing they need is to lose to Motherwell. So all in all, he ticks the box being keep us in the division.
I think you've got to, if you're Motherwell, would you not be looking to aim a little bit higher
at the start of the season, maybe, but not, as you said, once it gets to a point.
And plus the fact there have been some disappointing results along the way, and I'm taking nothing away because I thought Morton ran Hearts very close last night as well, but to go out the Scottish Cup at Capello, big turning point's got to be the Rangers result.
I thought
they were excellent on the day. I thought they deserved it.
Because I always think perception's interesting. We do kind of decide early in the campaign who's having a good season, who's having a bad season, and then we stick with it.
Do you know why I'm picking the Rangers?
I was just going to say though, I think Andy Halliday pointed this out. He would have been a Motherwell player now, but there's a perception that Dundee have had a really good season and Motherwell have had a really bad season. Separated by 1 point.
Yeah, I'm picking the Rangers game out because of the way they played, and when you look at the league, they've got a great opportunity to build on that to get to the top six, rather than what Hugh quite rightly says. I think a lot of the managers, like say the Motherwells and teams like that, you go, well, first and foremost, stay in the division, stay out the relegation battle. But I think the way Motherwell played against Rangers, and obviously what they got out of that game, the belief as well, it could catapult them for the six, into the top six.
The difficulty, I suppose, and Dundee do have a game in hand to take away from the stat that I mentioned, the fixtures are going to be so important, Stuart, because before the split, you play Aberdeen, play Dundee and play Hibs, St Mirren's the other one, but those three are going to be the rivals for top six. So can you see it happening, or is it just going to be falling short this time?
You know, I think there's a good chance. I mean, I think you've got a very good point. You know what I mean? Like, at the start of the season, Motherwell's aim is just to stay in the league. But I think that game at Ibrox was just, I think that reflects on the past couple of games. You know what I mean? I think especially a game against Celtic, I think if we didn't have a few injuries like Lennon Miller coming off, I think we could have stuck in, maybe get a point. But I think coming up, you know what I mean, we can definitely get 3 points off Aberdeen, I think. if we play like we did against Celtic and Rangers. So I think we've got a good chance of getting top six, but honestly, I'll just take anywhere, considering halfway through the season I thought we might have got relegated.
We always bang on about budgets. Now, Motherwell's budget must be among the lowest in the league.
Yeah.
And that would be a concern going forward for me. I know there's interest in taking over the club, but the fan ownership side of things is creating a complication, an argument over what happens next. But Motherwell will have to get investment in.
That's debatable. But anyway, we can discuss that another day. Theo Bear called up to the Canada squad.
Yeah.
He's back in international
well done.
Reckoning, which is good for him and well deserved. He's been in brilliant form. I think we'll have to leave it there looking at the clock. So thanks to Stuart and Uddingston. You two got any more? Six players sent off in a Scottish Cup semi since 2011. You've got Joe Newell, Lewis Ferguson, Ross McCrory, Craig Gordon.
We need a clue.
Remember that, like, Aberdeen Celtic just seem to play each other constantly at semis and final stage, 2019.
Shinny?
No, so it's that sort of ballpark. He also has played for Rangers as well as Aberdeen. I think loan at them both, maybe. And he probably gets sent off because he went for the... and missed the...
ball.
Dominic Ball.
That's what I said, Dominic.
Still not got it anyway.
Yeah, I got it.
The last one is fast as tough. He's a many times overplayed for Aberdeen. He's not there anymore, but he is still in the league.
Constantine.
Yeah, he got sent off against Celtic back in 2011. Bit tough. Thanks to Universal Interiors, East Kilbride, for helping us out on that. Thanks, Hugh. Thanks, Gordon. And thank you. That was another very, very busy show. We always genuinely really appreciate how many of you get in touch on the phones, on Twitter, and of course, listen. Whatever you're doing as well. Back tomorrow from 6. Make sure you join us then. And Callum Gallagher is up next.